What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
It's a big week when RHAP is on the road in Chicago. Check out my live show from Chicago. That's going to be up on Thursday, Wednesday night. Shannon Gus is going to be live with you with Kelly Wentworth after Survivor. And we preview the Dondi finale with Deal or No Deal Island host Joe Manganiello, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the USA Network Dummies on Islands Week 7 podcast. I am one of your hosts, Maggie Morgan, and with me today is my incredible co-host, the one, the only. These hot dummies are trying to kill her, Miss Kirsten McInnes. How are you today, Kirsten?
I'm doing great, Maggie. I'm so excited to be here with you. We got a great episode of Temptation Island, and I think you and I have some closure regarding the Big D, which is great news.
We do. This is a big moment for us on the pod.
But also, I'm really excited because we're not alone. We have a great guest.
We're not. And I'm actually sitting physically next to her in the room. This is
I'm so jealous.
Where there's three separate boxes on the screen. She's literally sitting next to me. We have great friend of the pod. My bestie, Laura Gerard, is here back again to talk about Temptation Island and these hot dummies.
And I've never been happier. I was going to say, is the great guest in the room with us right now?
I was literally going to say the same thing.
I also love that in your intro, you demoted the dummies from hot to just dummies.
Sorry, I was reading the title of the StreamYard because I panicked for a second.
No, I don't think they deserve it. It's too much mess and not enough hotness.
Yeah, but like, have you seen any of Love Island USA yet? There's not really hot people on these shows right now.
You say yet.
Well, there's hot women.
For me.
I feel like we got you on Temptation Island. Like, we can get you for Love Island.
You got me on Temptation Island by Maggie Morgan sitting down on my couch and spoon feeding me 4 episodes of Temptation Island. And then I had been infested and it was too late.
But you love Love is Blind. Like, Laura was the OG Love is Blind
stan. I loved season 1 of Love is Blind. I did extensive coverage on my Instagram. But season 1 captured a magic that they just haven't been able to replicate. And I think it's because people didn't know that the show was going to take off. So they were there for, you know, hashtag the right reasons. Anyways, we don't need to get into that.
Well, here's my toxic trait is that I know that I will love Love is Blind too much. Like, I know that I will be unbearable. So I'm not letting myself watch it because I know one day I will need Love is Blind. And it's going to be there for me and I'm not going to have seen it. So I can't even relate on that one.
That's the whole premise of Love is Blind. It's there for you and you've never even seen it. So.
Oh, God. But I guess up front, we should say Maggie and I are divorcing the Big D. We're not doing it anymore.
Much like Joe at the end of this episode, thanking everyone for her closure. I feel as though Kirsten and I have come to a good place where we've decided that the show is, in fact, too toxic for even us. Because, yes, it's sad and torturous. But it's also gotten very dark and been mishandled, we believe. So yes. We don't want to keep covering it if it's going to be more of people being on television when it is unsafe for them to be on television.
Yes, 100%. And, you know, I think we got all of the good psychological torture that we were going to get out of it. No wonder TBS killed this show and it was never supposed to actually see the light of day.
Yep.
But USA Network is a different breed. They've got Hump Day Wednesdays as Law and Order SVU into Temptation Island into the Big D. And like, what is more psychotic than that?
There is nothing more psychotic.
Right? Like, they're like, we're redefining Hump Day with the Temptation Island and the Big D. Like, but so we're just not going to talk about the fact that SVU is on first.
Especially heinous. USA Network should be taken to court for their especially heinous crimes.
I would like to see Olivia Benson show yeah. them a thing or two. Oh,
that is bad. I didn't even put that together. But yeah, so the Big D is out. Just for closure for anybody who has been following along, this week Takur and Joe went home. There was darkness. There was very little fun. And you know what?
We got a quote of someone saying, it's not like we were about to punch each other in the face, as if that makes everything better.
Yeah. But also, I'm not sure I believe them. So anyways, we hope everybody from the Big D is doing great. Congratulations on your television debuts. Maybe
we can't do it anymore. Sending love and light.
Yeah, sending love and light. Maybe we'll see you around. But you know what? Temptation Island is delivering. So I do think that we should talk, Laura, we should start at the top and ask you what you think of this season overall. Do you have overarching thoughts these first 7 weeks?
I feel like I have such mixed thoughts. I will say, I think I'm enjoying this season of Temptation Island more than ever. I can't get enough. Well, it's enough. About an hour a week is enough. That's an effective dose of Temptation Island. I think the production of the show only continues to get better, which is deeply exciting to me that they're really like investing in it. I feel like, not as a judgment of the quality of people that they are, but just in terms of the casting pool, it feels a little bit like they're scraping the bottom of the barrel. I mean, we've got one engaged couple, which is exciting, but everybody else feels a little bit like they were 1 foot out already, mm-hmm. which is fine and probably better for their mental health, but it's not totally what I love to see on my island of temptation.
I think two of these couples are fake and we're never together, right?
Yeah. Like, I mean, not, I'm like, caught up on the pod. I know the lore. You know what I mean? Like, they're definitely reaching a place where they're recruiting people who want to go to Hawaii for 3 weeks and get drunk. And that's fine. That's so fine. And I love to watch those people talk to Mark L. Wahlberg. So I don't care, you know?
Yeah. On the production value standpoint, I hard agree, because I don't want to, you know, bury the lead here, and we won't talk about it too much, but we had a format break that has never happened in Temptation Island before.
My God.
But they were like, you know what? This is going to be the best television ever. So let's freaking do it. You
it's
know,
like on Survivor, when people are debating the rule book and they're like, well, the ultimate rule book is just, is it going to make good TV? Then mm-hmm. yes, you can do it. That's the rule book they're playing by.
I mean, allowing the tempters to send a video to, like, you want to talk about psychological torture, Kirsten.
I have never been happier, honestly. When those words left Mark L. Wahlberg's mouth, I was like, okay, yes, like, I am all in. This is everything to me. I actually watched this episode with my boyfriend for the first time ever. Well, not like with, he was like in the room. He wasn't like watching. And he at one point looked over and said, are any of these people in a healthy relationship when they go out there? I was like, no, you don't end up here in a healthy relationship.
No.
It was so sweet.
I was talking to somebody about this show, and they were like, so people just go on because they want to be famous. And I was like, well, famous is a strong word, you know,
but where is the fame?
What did you always say? I remember the first season that we were covering this. I was like, Kirsten, why do people go to Temptation Island? And you were like, Maggie, you are underestimating the clout aspect of a show like this. And now we know, because even these tempters are like really trying to milk their 5 minutes. This is the most out of the tempters that I feel like we've gotten in five seasons.
Well, I feel like we've achieved a whole new class of tempters. I feel like not only are they taking their roles very seriously, but they're more tempting than usual. They seem like they have jobs.
Yeah. They seem to have jobs. They seem to have like boundaries for their
own selves. Having sex and not just fights. That's exciting.
Yeah. I mean, like, because I've also now seen season one and two in addition to all the other ones. And like, even compared to like the season two class of tempters, like these people are on another level.
I could do with less of the like inner tempter drama sometimes.
Too much inter-tempter drama.
Like, you know, just like Tammy and Nafisa, pack it up, you know?
Okay, like, but wait, that was so funny. That was because like, just because Great is like an idiot, right? Like he has no concept of like what, maybe he's just playing dumb to get out of getting in trouble, I guess. But like, he's got it locked down. He is having sex with Nafisa every night, but still he's like, I need to explore my options even more. I need to add a fourth tempter to my like roster.
And when he said, I want to talk to Abby, I literally looked at Laura and said, who is Abby? I've never seen this
the
girl.
The wig really threw her for a loop.
In my life.
I got to tell you, I'm with you, Maggie. I didn't even know she was wearing a wig. I was like, who is this person? I've never seen her. Like Kiki Palmer, sorry to this woman.
Wait, do you want to explain who she is?
Well, I was just, she's the one who was yelling at Christopher, which made me kind of root for her like several episodes ago, because somebody needs to yell at Christopher. So I was like, you know, I'm ready to hear you out, Abby. So I did recognize her for that reason.
Okay, okay. Well, and I did like how she responded to Great. So maybe Abby is a queen.
Maybe Abby,
I mean, like as much of a queen as you can be on Temptation Island.
Maybe Abby is a princess. How about that?
I'll take it. I'll take it.
So should we go through couples and we can get Laura overarching thoughts of them and from you and then like go through everything and all their videos and stuff? Is that, do you think that that's what we should do?
That sounds wonderful.
Okay. So I guess we should go with Great in Paris first, since we've already been talking about the Tammy and Nafisa stuff. So basically like they fight, they make up. Great and Nafisa are hooking up. Like that is for sure what's going on. And, Laura, do you have any thoughts overall about the two of them?
I mean, it's a mess. I think that I was trying to rank the men for Maggie. I was saying that this cohort of men in relationships is maybe the worst ever. Not that every single one of the men is the worst man, you know, there's no Kendall, but across the board, the average is low. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's normally like one that we're rooting for that doesn't like totally screw everything up.
Exactly. And there are none that I'm rooting for. But I will say that Great might be the least evil. There was a moment in one of the episodes, a couple episodes ago. Well, if we consider it canon, the Great and Paris are not actually a real couple. And they were maybe hooking up for 3 weeks before they came on this show. There was a moment when Tammy and Nafisa not first started fighting. This might have been like the third conflict that they had, where he sat down in a confessional and he was like, you know, they're both upset. They're mostly upset with each other, but like, I think it's my fault and I wasn't great at communicating it and I'm going to go do that. Like I've seen him accurately describe what's happening in the room, which is I think the closest we're going to get to accountability from any of these men. So I like have to hold it in my heart that he might be a decent
person. Yeah. I also think out of all of the men, like, it's easiest to root for him because he is also getting like greatly wronged by his partner, but like in a different way than Christopher is. Like I think that Paris like is equally like delusional.
It is so fun to watch Paris just have such problems with object permanence where she'll walk into the bonfire having, you know, lived her best life, been all like licking Tajik, and then walk in and be like, how dare he? And Mark L. Wahlberg himself will be like, well, let's consider what might have happened in your life with your body and hands and face. And it's just fun to watch the two of them. They're fun. This is like clean, all fun.
Because
they do it to each other.
Yeah. Yes.
But no one is just like absolutely destroying the other one who's a sweet baby angel. Like they're both equally messy and toxic and like not in a spooky way.
I think the worst thing you could accuse them of in regards to each other is being petty.
Yeah.
They're like, there's no cruelty. Yes. So it's just fun to watch. I do also, one my probably least favorite Temptation Island trope is the temptress who decides that she's now the guy's wife. Mm-hmm. Like, I like Nafisa. I think she's awesome and I like looking at her on my TV. But this happened last season too, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the guy was like, oh, I'm single. I'm here to explore my options. And then she was like, why are you disrespecting me by talking to other women? And granted, great is being disrespectful. Like, he's acting like a 14-year-old boy. But I'm always fascinated by the tempters who act more like they're on The Bachelor than Temptation Island.
But here's what I love the most about Nafisa is she can say, you are disrespecting me. This is not okay. Great says, well, but what do you mean? What is happening that's disrespectful? Can you be more specific? And she just says, we don't have to talk anymore. Like, once we're out of here, we never have to talk again. Like, it's fine.
Well, and also true. Nafisa being like, you're being disrespectful to me, and then getting on a video and being so unbelievably savage. I was like, oh my God, thank God you're on this island. Like, it was like, there's really nothing else to report here. I feel like from the episode, we got like that love triangle. And then the only other big thing to report, I feel like, is that Maricela and Paris are making out.
I was so excited.
That's who I want leaving together. That is who I want to leave together.
I really thought we were going to get more.
We probably will. I feel like they're dropping hints, you know?
Yeah.
I think this is the first we've seen them actually get physical, and maybe they will get more physical as time goes on. And honestly, I would love to see it. I think that it's really messed up that they have, I mean, because of Christopher, made Maricela's bisexuality like such a plot point on the show, but then not given her an avenue to explore that. So at least she's kind of exploring it with Paris.
Fine. Okay, so Great gets his video. Is there anything else about them, like pre-videos, that you want to discuss?
No, because we don't even get, like, other than Paris and Maricela, we see Paris like kiss Tajik and that's it. Yeah. So I think we're good to go to the video.
Okay, so Great's video from Paris. She says that she thought that their connection would be stronger, and she's questioning everything because the way that he's embarrassed her has made her question if he ever truly loved her. And like, that video in itself, I was like, okay. But Great in his confessional, he says, I think she's just delusional. And I wrote on here, I said, Great says she's delusional. Unfortunately, I agree.
He's also delusional, though, is the thing. Like, it's the pot calling the kettle delusional.
For sure. And I do support women's rights and wrongs. But Paris, that was a delusional message to send. It was.
I think we should all have a little delusion as a treat from time to time. So it's fine.
Yeah. Again, it's clean mess. I have to support it. Uh-huh. Like, no one's getting deeply hurt. I also want to point out in Maggie's notes that she wrote, unfortunately, comma, Tammy is so thirsty.
Yeah, because I don't like to, you know, I don't like to say negative things about women.
So you just say unfortunately and then you say a negative thing.
Well, but I'm
she's like, but who am I to judge?
But I'm not going to, I wasn't going to read that. I was just going to lock it away.
No, but Maggie, why did you write it down if you weren't going to say it?
Well, because I needed to know the whole plot. Like, that's what the whole plot point
it's
was.
It's like code to herself.
Yeah. I'm like writing in code. Don't give away my secrets,
Laura. Sorry.
Oh, this is great. I love this.
Okay, so Paris's video from Great. He says that by being here, he's realized that he has trust issues and he's really afraid of being hurt. He's seen everything he's doing, and it's everything that he's been afraid of.
Can we talk about that conversation that he was having with Nafisa where he was like, yes, I was flirting with Tammy in the pool because I have trust issues.
Yes.
So I'm afraid to commit to you. I was like, oh my God, that doesn't track.
I was like, so you can't trust people, which means that you have to act in a way such that you cannot be trusted? Excuse me?
Classic deflector. What is it? Projection. Classic projection there, I feel, from Great.
You know what this episode was missing? We needed more Mark L. Wahlberg.
Yeah.
There was not nearly enough Mark L. Wahlberg to satiate
like,
me.
To be like, what's going on? Well, we can't move away from this, though, before we talk about Nafisa's video to Paris. Because she says, Paris, it seems like you're enjoying your time on this island, and so are we. And then we talking about like
I
her
was
going to
say the inclusion of the word we is so bold.
Oh, my God.
And also, can I just say before any of this happened, when they found out the Tempters could send a message, Nafisa was in confessional like, yeah, I'm going to say a little something. I'm going to keep it classy, but I'm going to say something. I was like, we have different definitions of the word classy.
She said, we've spent several long nights together. And that she's confused as to why she brought, like, Paris brought Great there in the first place.
I mean, the fact that they're all doing dirt should tell you why they're here.
I mean, to get on a video and basically be like, yes, I have been sleeping with your boyfriend. Toodaloo! Like, icon behavior. Icon behavior.
It's... I can't, I mean, I can't imagine being in this situation because I would, it doesn't matter how toxic my relationship is, I would never go to Temptation Island. But if that ever happened to me, I think I would just, I'd be gone. Like, you'd never see me again.
She said, I would float away. Up in this
Literally.
So any other notes on Great in Paris? Before we move on?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so next up on our list is Roberto and Vanessa.
Oh, boy. Is Vanessa not the reality TV get of the century for whatever casting person got her Instagram handle?
I hope they got a bonus.
Horrified by her. I'm obsessed with her. I want more people in real life to know who that is so I can reference her. She's a character. She's great.
Can I just say, like, having this person have the same name as my mom is so troubling. Like every week, I don't know if I've said that on the podcast.
You haven't.
But I'm just like, no, like that's not what Vanessa's like. I'm like, everyone stop talking shit about her. I'll
use her name in vain. Oh
my God, that's hysterical, Kirsten. That's hysterical.
It's too much. I've really been fighting that one. But she's everything. Like for Marisela and Paris to be making out and then it just pans over much like it panned over in the clip of Roberto kissing Des and you saw the ass and I was like, oh, it was panned over and then it's Vanessa just watching like, oh, is this what I've been missing by going to bed early?
Also, I do have to say something that I said to Laura during the episode. Sometimes these parties look so pathetic because it's like they have all of these lights and all of these outfits and there's like seven of them dancing.
I literally have that in my notes. It's where is it? I need to find it. Oh, my God.
We have big, big high school cast party energy.
Listen, my high school didn't even have a drama department, so I wouldn't even have the chance to know. I can't remember where I wrote it, but like they had a future night at the men's villa, which I don't know what that means and I don't want to know. Mm-hmm. And then the women's villa did country night, and I literally wrote down, it is so awkward looking at how few people are actually there. Like there's probably more crew than people enjoying the party.
1000%. And I wonder sometimes like if the girl tempters who are there and like are talking to these terrible men, like I wonder sometimes if they're like, what about these guys in the crew? Are any of them available? You know, like if you're looking at like down the barrel of a Hall or a Christopher, are you like maybe turning to the sound guy and you're like, hey, what are you doing?
I mean, to some people
straight into the open ocean.
For some people, Hall is their soulmate and the love of their life, Maggie.
We cannot get there.
I'm sorry. Okay, yeah. So the party, so awkward, so minimal. There's nobody also, there.
I will say, Vanessa's ass in that clip that Bryce was holding. I literally, in capital letters, I said, oh my God, Vanessa's ass. Like, oh my gosh, she is like, it's banging. I don't even know what else to say about it.
It's quite an ass.
It honestly make it the eighth wonder of the modern world.
Yeah, for real.
Not to circle back to the most boring topic ever, but I do have questions about these parties and how they are set up, as in how do you get everyone on the same theme night after night? Are they instructed when they're packing for this show, themes for the week, like Drag Race? Or are they given a budget and then somebody like hobbles over to the resort gift shop to buy everybody like felt cowboy hats? Like, I feel like some of the themes are stronger and some of them are not.
I feel like they provide them with clothing.
Does one of the tempters have to go to the guy holding the boom and be like, we want to do a spa night? Like,
I think the spa night was at least like a little more DIY. So maybe the men decided just to do that. But I think in general, production probably goes to Party City at the start of the season, buys as much shit as they can, and then goes, okay, well, a cowboy party this night. This stuff's kind of futuristic, and then just rolls in like a wardrobe thing with bathing. And because most of the women are just wearing bathing suits anyways, like pretty easy.
Yeah. I feel like it's been more DIY in the past. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm just fascinated by like the internal world of someone who's working 14 hours a day on Temptation Island. So we don't need to circle back around to that. But
yeah, God love them. I hope that they get 3 weeks on in Hawaii, 3 weeks off in Hawaii, you know? Mm. So basically, I really don't have anything else for them this episode. Basically, it's just like Roberto at the top of the episode.
I'm sorry. What? I've just seen something in my notes. What? And I have to expose myself because it's just a line that says Paris and Tajik kissy kissy. Why did I write that down? And why did I say it like that?
That's what happened. You're just reporting.
Yeah.
My brain is so broken.
Yeah, you're reporting the news. It's because you've been watching too many of these shows.
That's what five like, podcasts kissy, a week kissy. Will do to you.
Mm-hmm. I'm so dead. Sorry.
So the only other thing really from Roberto that I have is that like he's feeling sort of torn about Vanessa, but I think it's all bullshit just to keep the storyline going.
They gave us clips back to back of Roberto saying, you know what? I think Vanessa's been trying to show me something in these bonfires. And like, maybe there is still something there. And then a clip of Vanessa being like, well, I've seen how Roberto has talked about me in these bonfires and I'm ready to explore my connection with Bryce.
Yeah. I think that unfortunately, like Roberto is completely checked out. Like you want to talk about somebody who's completely checked out. Like Roberto is like, bye. If he never sees Vanessa again, I think that he will be totally okay with it. So I think they're just like grasping at straws to be like, well, but there's still some intrigue here. Like, and there's just not.
Yeah, there's no tension. So they're like forcing conflict.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, is there something wrong with me listening to the podcast? I feel bad for Roberto, like, especially in the first couple episodes, I was like, I feel like this guy's trying. I feel like he's a big old baby, but I feel like he's trying his best.
I think Kirsten has maintained her stance that they are a plant.
And there's like, I just don't like, what did they even talk about? What did Vanessa and Roberto talk about?
I think possibly the most damning evidence of that is from last week, I think. That might be a faulty citation, but I know you'll forgive me. When Roberto was on the couch with Dez and she was in the bikini, and that horrified everyone because you could see her bare ass, which pot kettle ass.
Mm-hmm.
Vanessa watched the whole clip, and granted, this could have been editing. But she watched the whole clip from 8 feet away on the little iPad, waited for it to be over, and then was like, fuck, like then had an angry outburst reaction mm-hmm. in a way that I think if you were having an angry outburst in real time, you wouldn't wait for the clip to finish neatly. Like, I think you would have had a reaction to, it felt like she watched it, decided how she was going to feel about it, and then reacted to it. Does that make sense? Or like you'd sit there and then you'd be like, no, actually, I really hated watching that. That made me really angry. But it felt like she was doing a raw emotion, but two beats too late.
I do think we need to consider the fact that the contestants on Temptation Island might have slower reaction times than you and me. I do think that's possible.
So Roberto's video.
No comment.
Yes.
So Roberto's video from Vanessa, she says that she's devastated and she's sorry if she hurt him, that she pushed him away because or she pushed them as a couple because she thought that their relationship was strong enough to handle Temptation Island. She wants security, but she wants his future decisions to reflect his feelings for her. And then Vanessa's tempter Bryce comes on and tells Roberto, like, you need to do better, basically.
Yep.
And
he said, you came in with a real woman and you are losing her.
And then Roberto goes into confessional and essentially is like, I don't care.
Yep. Yep. He's like, bye. I love losing Vanessa.
Yeah, he could not care less.
Do better is such a hilarious thing to come out of the mouth of someone who's been put on retainer to be a tempter on an island on a USA Network show.
Yeah. What else can you say?
Do better.
So then Vanessa's video is from Roberto. And I have to say, I loved that they included like the little clips of them like getting like ready and like getting maybe a little nervous. And like, I thought like, cause like Roberto's video, it's so obvious that he like doesn't really know where to look or like what to say.
And I think was Roberto's the one where he's like, just tell me when, and they're like, yeah, you're good. Like, yep, go ahead.
He like wasn't looking at camera. He was looking like slightly down. And I was just like, this is perfect for the guy mm-hmm. who has spent the entire season being like, I am a man, to like,
well, he's talking to the person who's filming him, not at the actual device that is filming him.
I know, it was just, it was funny to me. But so Roberto in his video to Vanessa says that he's grown a tremendous amount,
that has he show me where,
that he sees the standards he wants in a relationship and that he thinks that they are a toxic couple. He says he still loves her, but he doesn't think that she has what it takes to change.
Which was hilarious because not 40 seconds before that, he was like, I just really want to see Vanessa change. So does she or does she not have what it takes, Roberto? I just want a straight answer.
So then we dive directly into
this video
from Dez, where she literally is like, Roberto, get behind me, basically. And she says that Rob is special and he deserves a partner who's open-minded, empathetic, and not controlling.
That she says that Roberto is like one of the most empathetic and emotionally intelligent people she's ever met.
Yep. She appreciates Vanessa for bringing Roberto to the island and showing her what a real man is. LOL. That's all I gotta say.
Do you think she's like lived a life where she's never been around a man who will cry in front of her before? And so his like constant baby whining is misconstrued as emotional intelligence?
I may definitely be part of it.
That's a really good theory, actually, and something that I wouldn't have thought of. But
Look at that. I too before have misconstrued baby whining for emotional intelligence. So like, I understand how you could make sure, that
haven't
mistake.
We all, haven't we all?
I'm looking up Desiree to see, like, I can't remember how old she is. I assume she's also a baby.
Oh my God. What just came out of my mouth? Do you have some sort of tempter database?
Well, if you look them up, you can find, like, normally there's websites that'll be like, here's everything to know about this person from Temptation Island that's, like, written by AI. But then you can get their full name and find them on Instagram.
Okay.
She has 244,000 followers on Instagram and allegedly 1 million on TikTok.
Okay. Maybe Temptation Island was good for her.
I think that she probably had that before.
Yeah. So
do you think 1 million people are watching Temptation?
1 million people who have TikTok are watching.
And I'm interested. But Vanessa then in her confessional literally is like screaming and she's like, who do you think made Roberto this way? Who do you think made him empathetic? Like, I'm glad you're taking credit for all my work. And you know what? Yes, that is something that I feel like a lot of women have to deal with, where they rehabilitate a crappy man and then he is now lovely and empathetic and he breaks up with her and moves on to another woman and all of her work was for naught.
That's why we look for partners, not projects.
Yeah. Yep. Next shitty baby man you date, just give him the landlord special. Don't bother doing any free therapy. Just slap a coat of paint on and move it along.
Yeah, leave the bugs and everything.
Yeah.
Is that all we have to say about Roberto and Vanessa? Are we ready to move on, do we think?
Yeah, I'm very ready to move on.
Okay, great. I do think before we move on, we should take a quick break and we will see you guys in one moment. And we are back. Okay, so next up, we're going to do Christopher and Marisela.
I just need to say again, I hate Chris so much.
Laura hates him so. Go, Laura, go.
He's so spooky to me. Like, there's like, I was going to say like Chads and Betas, and I don't want to introduce that to the conversation. He's not like a tier one bad man. He's like a tier two bad man, which is so much scarier. It's like I was going to reference someone who I shouldn't reference on this podcast.
Okay, well,
I do not like that man. That's all I'm going to say. I don't trust that man. I don't like how he treated Marisela from the very first episode. I think the guy who's like so hung up on his own depth and his, like, Christopher would tell you himself to your face that he's very emotionally intelligent.
Yeah.
And he has done not one thing to prove it. And this is just what we've seen of him on TV, but everything I've seen of him has not been good. Really just red flags everywhere.
There's a guy on Too Hot to Handle this season who keeps saying super duper ooper horny. And oh, Chris is worse than that guy.
Wait, super duper ooper?
Mm-hmm. He said it more than one time.
Isn't Too Hot to Handle the show where they have to not touch each other and then get money?
Yes.
So he's gonna win.
He's super duper ooper horny.
Who would touch him?
Shockingly, several women have.
Oh my God. They have to live with that.
Oh my God. I'm going to be texting you tomorrow, Kirsten, and just say super duper ooper horny.
I will block your number.
I do think Marisela is the main character of this season, though.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, she's the Ash, right? Like, she's the person who is free from this terrible relationship, living her life, living her best. Like, Christopher is now hooking up with this Alexius woman and apparently has put a spell on her because whatever she said in that video was so jarring. I was like, oh, no, we have to break the spell that she's under.
Yeah, you can see it in her eyes. She's gone to the sunken place.
Yeah, very, very odd. But yeah, Marisela, apparently, though, she did say she's not having sex with the hot Australian guy, but they're getting to know each other physically. So I'm not really sure what that means.
I think people define sex differently. Like, there's different levels. And sometimes people just choose what they call sex. Doesn't include all the things that other people call sex.
Like, does non-penetrative intimacy still set off the cheating light? Like,
I mean, I feel like when we see them make out, it does. So mm-hmm. It must. Yeah. I think they probably just haven't gone full penetration.
I think that they're probably just super duper uber horny. Like,
disgusting.
I cannot get over the scene of them just naked and she's like rubbing lotion on his back, standing up, a thing no one else has ever done before or since.
Well, I was just like, the intimacy required there, that's after like months of dating that you're doing something like that. I feel not somebody that you haven't even had sex
any
with.
Normal person is laying down for the back lotion
too. Yeah, it was like full daylight. Well, no, it was in I think like the dark cam.
Okay,
like night vision.
I just have to imagine this speaks to, again, the quality of person that Maricela is, because if production liked her less, mm-hmm. we would have seen that shot six different times in slow-mo, upside down from three different cameras. And instead it was like, and this is what happened. Do you have a problem with it? Like, they're taking her side, you know?
It's like going into commercial. We barely even got to see it. And yeah. Will it even make the next bonfire? Because they have so much more footage of her, like, making out. And they have to show her and Paris making out because it is going to destroy two of the men.
Oh, my God. So fun.
We can only hope. I mean, that's honestly a good strategy. Just do so much stuff that they can't show 90% of it.
Well, be careful on that. There was a Love Island, the notorious Love Island UK woman, right?
Person yes, who- season two Love Island UK. But that was just,
she said,
bless her soul. She didn't want to have sex on camera because she didn't want her like parents to see it at home. And in sure. Love Island, it's a lot of the like, they're fully under the blankets and you just kind of see some movement and you have to put together the pieces. But this, she put her big brain on and she said, well, if we have sex on top of the blankets, they can't show it on TV. And they did. They just blurred out the relevant portions of her like aggressively doing reverse cowgirl on national television. Like, it was like the most exposed she could have been. And they showed it. Yeah.
What is life? Like, what is this world we live in?
I mean, I honestly, I think her thought process was not bad. I think that UK television has like less strict rules about nudity.
Well, we've seen a lot of ass this season.
Yes, we have. I feel like more than usual.
Yeah. Yeah. Ass from almost every cast member.
I thought you were going to say every angle.
Well, no,
and maybe
yeah,
maybe. Well, we've had some people who haven't shown their physical ass, but they've surely shown their ass.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Their metaphorical ass.
Yeah, that happens every season.
Talk of eating ass this season than any other
talk of eating ass.
These people are ass eaters. We watched
well, but once again, we haven't actually seen anyone do the actual act of eating ass. They've just, this episode was closer than the last one.
Maricela put whipped cream all over Paris's butt crack and licked it all off.
That was much closer than when Paris was saying that Great had eaten a girl's ass. Because Great was like licking whipped cream off the cheek. And this was like in yeast infection territory.
Yeah. Yeah. So should we move on?
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Oh my God. That was hysterical. That's why, we do have to move on. Otherwise it'll just snowball here.
Can't let you riff too much, Kirsten.
So Christopher's video from Maricela, he comes up and he's like, I hope I don't even get a video from her.
He doesn't even say he hopes. He says, I'm pretty sure I won't get one.
Well, he's trying to relieve his guilt. So
why is he trying to neg a woman who's not even like within shouting distance?
It's the way he a few episodes ago, he's like, oh, she'll be crawling back to me.
Mm-hmm. He's doing like Tom Cruise in Magnolia. Cut it out. Everyone can see you. You're on camera. I hate him. I cannot stand this man.
Everyone can see you.
So in Christopher's video, Maricela says that she spent days, you know, crying and asking what she wanted. And the answer was and has always been just happiness. And she says their relationship doesn't bring her happiness. And she's experiencing herself for the first time. She says, you know, I'm amazing just as I am. And that she loves him, but she hopes that he finds what he's looking for.
Just now that's a classy
Island success story.
Mm-hmm. Very classy video. And I think Christopher then in his confessional afterwards was like, yeah, you know, I do feel a little bit guilty now after hearing her video. So I don't feel awesome, you know, because Maricela comes out and she looks like $1 million, by the way. That outfit, she looked amazing. But Maricela comes out and she opens it up to watch Christopher's video. And it's just Alexius, his temptress, saying that, you know, Maricela has broken him and she's looking forward to helping him find himself again.
No, girl, shut up. What are you doing?
How did you convince her to do that? That's insane.
Well, I think that he probably didn't tell her like, oh, I'm not going to leave a message. But yes, I don't think he would ever have such open communication with anybody. Like, I think that he just probably hinted that he's really upset. And she felt like, oh, let me be a mama bear towards this man that I have romantic interests in. I don't know.
It's giving clown. That video was clownish behavior.
If it wasn't over before, Maricela is so done with Christopher now. Cause she's literally like, I'm not even surprised that she got someone else to do it. Like, I've always told him to be a leader and he's just never been.
What did you think when he didn't send the video? Laura.
Typical. Of course he didn't send the video. Of course he can't, like, he's not even, how's it going to go for him at the final bonfire? Like, sitting in front of her face to face. Like, he's just not going to show up. Like,
Christopher's the type of person who I feel like wouldn't even look her in the eye entire time. Like, would only look at the ground.
Yeah. I feel, it's just night and day from them coming in the first night. And both being like, well, we love each other so much, but we're trying to figure out like what's missing. Like, it's definitely a Maricela problem. Like, she's got confidence issues. And then the second Christopher was out of earshot, just talking about like how she doesn't do this and she doesn't do that. And she's not the type of person. Like, it's so, I can't stand this, man. That's all I have to say. We don't need to rehash it. But it really seems like it's complete, which is very different from Hall and Caitlin, who I know we're going to get to next. But yes. I'm like, will they, won't they? Will they, won't they? Like, every time it seems so complete, then I'm like, oh no, she's like, she's doing a what if, or he seems really upset. And then, but with Christopher and Maricela, like, she is done. She has been done and she will continue to be done.
Mm-hmm. A true Temptation Island success story.
Yes.
Yes.
She's having her eat, pray, love moment.
Literally. So literally eating ass.
It's fine when you do it.
Love ass.
So this is the moment everybody who watched this episode has been waiting for, because we've got to talk about Hall and Caitlin. And Laura, I cannot wait to hear what you think about Hall and Caitlin.
You know how I said Christopher was bad guy type number two? Hall is bad guy type number one. Is this not just Hanya in a different font? The fact that he begged to get back with her. He's wasted 8 years of this woman's life. He's now tricking this 22-year-old girl into... Just because she like looked him in the eyes and said, yes, she would have his babies. Like, ugh. I hope that he gets what he wants and I hope he has the life he deserves. And I will say, do we want to talk about this yet? Sorry, I'm producing the podcast.
Go ahead.
What's been teased, the cliffhanger we were left on. I will say that if it was possible for me to gain 2% of respect back for Hall, if he indeed is going to break up with Caitlin and insisted on doing it early and not like seeing through the entire process, I do think that that is the most humane way to do that. I'm terrified we're going to get a reunion episode where they're back together because it was too hard to move out of the house.
Oh, God. I just didn't think about that.
The only point I want to argue against Laura is I don't want Hall to get what he wants. I don't want him to ever have what he wants as long as he lives.
I just don't want to hear him talk about what he wants anymore. I don't want to hear about how you like your soulmates and you've discovered something new about yourself and you've been lying to yourself. I don't care if getting what he wants gets him to shut up and go away and stop talking.
I figured out who Hall reminds me of, and it's somebody that Laura and I know in life. Oh, no. So I'll tell her off.
Wait, I think I know too. Yes. Can I whisper it to you?
No, no, absolutely not. No, I'm pod. I'm sorry, everybody.
Just put it in the private chat so I can see it too, even though I don't know them. I want to feel included.
Well, we'll do it. We'll do it post. I'm sorry, everybody, for doing this on air. We'll do it post pod. But okay.
Paul is not a kind person to be compared to.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that's not fair to this person. Okay, so basically, before we get to all of this, you know, clip nonsense.
Yes.
So basically, there's a love triangle also going on at the Women's Villa with Caitlin because Sebastian, the New Jersey guy, likes her.
No, sorry, Sebby. Maggie. Oh, his name is Sebby now because Sebby. That's what Mark called him. Mike.
So Sebby likes Caitlin, and so does Michael. And Michael pulls Caitlin aside at one point and is like, can I talk to you? And she's like, okay, yeah. And he's like, you know, I just have to say that some people are here for the right reasons and some people are here for different reasons. And I was like, Michael, give me a break. This is Temptation Island. This is not The Bachelor. Everybody's here for clout. Come on.
Well, and even if it was The Bachelor, what is this, The Bachelor season one? You have to get someone else to go tell Caitlin that so that it doesn't reflect poorly on you.
That's a good point. That was poor gameplay.
Come on. He's a bad player.
I really just want a montage of every tempter sitting down in front of the camera saying what they think the right reasons for being on Temptation Island are. Like, I want to hear them articulate what they think is the point of the show, what they think their job is, how they think this is leading them down a path towards self-actualization, and like what is their purpose? Like I want to know what the right reasons are. I want somebody to say it out loud because I don't think we've ever gotten that.
Yeah,
agreed.
Okay, so we do have to get to this clip nonsense because we really didn't get much from them in the episode other than this little love triangle situation. Yes. Okay, so Caitlin's video from Hall says that she's strong, dependable, caring, and that they've been missing something, and he's embraced this moment and he's found true happiness for himself, which was a whole lot of nothing.
I'm sorry. Hall says, I have found true happiness like within myself, as if he has gone through some sort of transformation of who he is as a person. When I'm sorry, I have not seen that on the clips that we've seen so far. Maybe it's happening off camera, I guess. Mm-hmm. But no, he found a 22-year-old that he wants to fuck. Mm-hmm. That is not finding satisfaction in yourself.
Paul finding satisfaction in Temptation Island has the same energy as Ken going to the real world and seeing a horse. Like that's the happiness he thinks he found. He looked into a girl's eyes who looked back at him and said, uh-huh. And he was like, wait, I've been right all along. Mm. I don't have to change at all. Life is amazing. I love being me. And when he started that message with, you're so strong, my heart dropped into my butt. How dare he?
I mean,
she wouldn't have to be strong if you weren't doing what you're doing.
Yeah. And also he was just saying word salad. Like he wasn't even saying anything that was meaningful. That's what she said in her confessional afterwards. She's like, Paul's message like meant nothing. Like I couldn't understand what he was meaning. It's because he wasn't meaning anything. He was just saying words and phrases.
It was nothing. So nothing.
Then Michaela gets on.
And I have to say, I'm mad at Michaela because at the start of the episode, when the tempters find out they can leave a message, she's like, a message to your fiance? Ugh, I'm not doing that. And I was like, oh my God, is she sane? Like a little bit? And then no, here's the video. What producer made her do this?
I will say she sounded like she had a gun to her head. She sounded like she was reading off a script and there was someone threatening behind the camera.
She just, like, I mean, Little to no stage presence, if I do say so myself. Sorry, Michaela. Okay.
Well, oh, look at these two trained actors criticizing someone's performance. No, I mean,
she's honestly good on the show.
Like, she wasn't listening back enough.
Yeah. Like, anyway, sorry. Sorry, Michaela. But she says that she's having an amazing time getting to know Hall and that they've been falling for each other on a deep and emotional level and that he's everything she's been searching for in a man. Future husband and father. She says that she would never have left her soulmate if Caitlin hadn't brought him to the island, so she's grateful. I am sorry, Michaela.
She says she would have never felt true love if she didn't meet Hall.
Are you not embarrassed?
Listen, we've all been confused before.
Not like
you're right. You're right.
On a different level.
Not like this.
This is on a different level. Is this like a Big Brother situation where they're not allowed to like have books in the house?
I think so.
Or like little activities and things.
I'm pretty sure they're only allowed to do shots and like lick things off each other's bodies.
Maybe that's what they've been doing, is they're like writing help messages in the whipped cream and like tracing them over with their tongues, and we're meant to pick up on some of that.
I mean, I am speechless after hearing that. I don't know what else to say.
I was so horrified. I was so horrified when she said the words true love and the word soulmate to Caitlin. I just, how do you stray so far from the path that you end up sending a video message to your boyfriend's fiance about how he's your soulmate and true love?
Your boyfriend? No, the guy that you haven't even kissed, it seems, and have just been chatting with on an island for a week and a half.
Just talking about the timing of the children you're going to have.
Do you think that Michaela's just like a really good tempter, and maybe she's kind of grossed out by Hall, but she's like, let me do my job. And then at the end, they're like not together. Because I would,
honestly,
I could get on board with. That would make sense why she didn't sound convincing when she said soulmate and true love.
It's performance art.
And a favor to Caitlin, because she can be done with Hall.
Yeah. She says that she felt like Michaela was just, you know, putting it on for the video. Like she was leaning in, doing too much.
But she has said those things already, so.
I know.
Caitlin handles things better than anyone I've ever seen. Like, she is so solid. She sat there and took both of those inane, garbled, nonsense alien messages, and she went, that was weird.
Like, because it was weird.
No reaction. She said light work, no reaction. It's impressive. That woman is so balanced.
Yeah.
Wait, I have a question about Caitlin that I wanted to bring up earlier and I forgot about it until right now.
Yeah.
When she goes to have her conversation with Michael about Sebastian and his intentions, he's like, oh, are you about to go work out? And she has, I swear to God, the biggest gym bag I've ever seen in my life over her shoulder. But they're living in the villa. Like, why would she need the bag? What's in the bag?
Did you notice this?
What's in the bag?
Maybe a change of clothes for after. Maybe there's like a shower.
She lives in the villa. The gym's in the backyard. Where's she changing?
Yeah, I don't know. Was it a yoga mat and not a bag?
No, it was like a big black, like kind of duffel-y type bag. It didn't look like there was room for a yoga mat.
She was going down to the ocean.
Yeah, I don't
maybe
know.
She was going down for a workout with a view.
That could be trying
to escape.
Sorry, just if anyone else noticed the giant gym bag, please tweet or thread at me.
I think that was an alibi and she was trying to break out of the island.
Everything she brought, because it's mostly a bathing suit, so it doesn't take up that much room.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Okay, so then we get to Hall watching Caitlin's video. Mm-hmm. So he sits down. The second she says a single word, he starts crying. And he's doing like the cry face that's like, I feel so guilty cry face. And I have seen that cry face before. So I recognized it. It's not like a, oh my God, I'm so sad, I miss her cry face. It's like a, oh no, this is about to be bad, I think. And Caitlin says that she loves Hall and he will always be her greatest love. She loves the life that they've built together, and she's hurt and wants to and deserves to feel loved and secure. And she really wants there to be a possibility to come back together after the end of the experience. And Hall just immediately is like, I know what I have to do, and begs the producers, and then is in a Sprinter van on his way to go talk to Caitlin.
He's like, where is Caitlin?
Take me to her. I need to see her.
I don't know. She's at the other villa.
No, this was the fact that they let him do this is wild.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Again, you know, I've talked a lot of shit about Hall in the last 6.5 minutes, but I do think that if you know that you are going to end your engagement on Temptation Island, doing it as soon as possible.
And to her face
in front of her and being like, I know what I want. So now I, like, this is wrong.
Also, do you think,
Laura, no.
There's a modicum of respect earned back.
It's like the least he can do, but we're not used to the people on the show doing the least even. So we're just like, okay, yeah, this is good, actually. Yeah, do you think there's a chance?
Laura, no, though, because you're like, oh, if you're going to end your engagement on Temptation Island, it's best to do it as quickly as possible. He could have waited until the end, final bonfire to end the engagement. But he watched that video and said, crap, I really want to sleep with Michaela and I won't be able to because now I feel bad. And he got up and he went to go break up with
Caitlin. No, that's not how you should end your engagement on Temptation Island. You should probably not take your engagement to Temptation Island. You should not be there in the first place. I do think those were tears of guilt. And I think they were tears of guilt when being confronted with the cold, wet slap of reality that he was hurting someone who somewhere deep down in that little shriveled raisin heart of his, he cares about. Mm-hmm. And I think that I'm not saying it's kind to go take a van to your fiance's villa on Temptation Island to call off your engagement so you can go have babies with the tempter.
But you can have babies on her timeline. She needs to live her life first.
You're so right. She has a lot to accomplish. Unlike Caitlin, who should have babies now for Hall. I think it is kinder to Caitlin than to drag it out.
Do you think there is any chance at all that he is breaking up with her and then we'll go to Michaela and be like, let's leave Temptation Island together right now and go like start our lives together?
Yes. Leave right now? No, because he'll want to stay and party. Like, this is paradise. Why would he want to leave right now?
Well, but like, he hasn't even gotten to like have sex with Michaela or kiss her or anything. That's and like, he I'm might saying. Not want that on TV.
Oh my God, it's Hall. Are you kidding? I feel like he's about to go back there and be like, Michaela, I did it. I literally went to her face and ended my engagement and cry. And then he and Michaela will go to his room and she'll hold him and he'll cry and then they'll fuck.
Do you think there's a 1% possibility that he proposes to Michaela?
Oh my God.
Here's the thing. I think there's more than 1% chance that he proposes to Michaela.
I'm talking about like less than an hour turnaround time. I'm talking about to Caitlin in that.
It's possible because he'll come back and he'll say, I went to Caitlin. I told her that what we have is not working. I ended it and I know what I really want with my life and it's you. Will you marry me?
I don't think that when he goes back, he will do that. But, you know, they love to drag somebody to the ring shop. You know, right around the end. That's true. And I could see them being like, all right, Hall, let's take you to the ring shop for Michaela.
So what will, okay, if this is Hall breaking up with Caitlin, and then they are not going to be together anymore, but they're all on the show, what does the final bonfire look like? Like, does Caitlin still have to go sit next to him when he's like, I already broke up with you?
I think that they have to talk about the rest of their experience after the breakup and how it was watching each other have sex even after they were broken up. That's
well, yeah, because if he's breaking up with her right now, she's going to turn around and have sex with Sebastian.
As she should.
As she deserves.
Maybe instead of a bonfire, Caitlin gets to do some sort of like hot coal walk into Mark L. Wahlberg's arms as like a moment of self-actualization.
I mean, she, when she's sitting there, she's like, Hall, what are you doing here? Like, and she already knows, you know, like, I know she already knows. Like,
she's like, what are you going to say? And he goes, I have to talk to you.
My heart will be in my butt. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah.
These men are sick.
The only thing that's upsetting about this is that he is robbing her of the opportunity to dump him.
Yep.
I don't like that
he's kind of on her way.
She was on her way.
Yeah.
She said in this episode she's not feeling bad about having connections with people anymore.
Mm-hmm. Poor Caitlin. Okay, well, this honestly was a great episode of Temptation Island because there's so much. Really, I'm so excited to see the whole blow up. It seems like the girls are super pissed at him. Like on the next time on Temptation Island, it was like the girls were like, Hall, are you kidding me? As he was leaving the villa. Like, I just know.
I have hope that we might get to see Vanessa versus Hall.
Oh my.
I hope she hits him. Like, I hope she punches him. Like Vanessa punching Hall in the face and he has to go back to Michaela with a black eye is like everything I ever wanted.
Oh my God. Iconic. Truly iconic.
Sorry, I hope she hits him to be really
like, I'm not normally a fan of physical violence, but in this case, I'll make an exception.
So what are we, how are we feeling overall? What are our overall thoughts on Temptation Island moving forward from you, Laura?
More Mark L. Wahlberg.
Yeah.
I didn't get enough Mark L. Wahlberg in this episode. Mm-hmm. I think he is a gem. I think he is a rare man where his interest in this, like, his the praise that he gets for being emotionally intelligent, he has gone the opposite of, like, forming a cult, and he's like, I think I'm actually going to get better at giving real therapy. Like, he's Temptation Island is nothing without Mark L. Wahlberg. Mm-hmm. And I want as much Mark L. Wahlberg as possible.
Oh, I love that. Well, you can always catch him on Antiques Roadshow if you're missing Mark L. Wahlberg.
I was going to say, should we start recapping Antiques Roadshow to get more Mark L. Wahlberg?
From the beginning.
Can you imagine?
My dad could probably do it. He's seen every episode 10 times.
He forgets where he is. And he's like, so you found this in your father's basement. Do you want to talk to me more about your relationship with him?
Yeah. Oh, I love man. It. Okay. Well, Kirsten, are there any other thoughts you have overall about Temptation Island?
Give them more money. Give them more production value. I am just obsessed with this horrible, horrible show.
Yeah, I honestly, this season has really stepped it up a notch. Like, they really have, like, the psychological torture that's going on is truly next level. It's great.
The cheating light is, I hope whichever PA, like, ran that idea got a big sloppy kiss on the mouth from Mark L. Wahlberg, because that is simple brilliance.
Mm-hmm. I do love the different reactions from the light. Like when the light comes on at the girls' villa, the women's villa, they all start partying harder. They're dancing. It's great. When it comes on at the men's villa, all of the women tempters are just like, ugh, those women are the worst people alive. I can't believe they're doing this again.
As they're half naked groping the men. Yeah, exactly.
As they're like actively trying to turn on the light at the women's villa. They're like, wow, I can't believe anyone would get physical here.
Exactly.
I want to see a different color for emotional cheating.
What would the color be?
Like, it turns blue if they're like really emotionally connecting with someone.
Yeah, that's, I think that's harder to measure, as in like real life too, you know, how it's like,
yeah,
people are like, you emotionally cheated on me. And people are like, what does that mean? You know, it's just harder to measure.
And I feel like we're just going to applaud men for crying again.
Yeah.
They'll get some kind of like sticker to wear to bonfire. Be like, I opened up.
Fair enough. I don't want to be celebrating that.
Well, Laura, thank you so much for joining us. This was so fun. I mean, this was like one of our longest episodes yet because we had just so much to discuss. Thank you for coming on. If people want to hear more from you, where can they find you?
Oh, I'm everywhere. I'm on TikTok at LC Gerard. I'm on Instagram at Laura.Gerard, and I'm on YouTube now. I'm releasing free workouts every week if you're interested in that sort of thing from my loud mouth.
And what about your podcast?
Oh, and I'm the co-host of the Fit Literate podcast, where we debunk diet culture and trending TikTok bullshit and fake influencer news. And we just recently today talked about the Shake Weight and the Thigh Master.
Oh, so fun.
Oh, I can't wait.
Fun. Yeah. That's fun.
I was at my aunt's house 2 weeks ago, and no shit, I saw both a Shake Weight and a Thigh Master in the same room.
I think aunts were their target demographic.
Yeah, something that you can do while you watch your soaps, you know?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Kirsten, where can people find you?
Yes, so mostly they can find me here on the Hot Demis on Islands feed. If you're listening on the reality TV wrap-ups feed, it mean a lot to me if you went over to the dedicated Hot Demis feed. Give it a 5-star review. Give it a subscribe. It really helps people find the show. And I'm doing so many shows covering Too Hot to Handle, Love Island USA with Brian Scali. And then also, of course, Mess Magnets, where Sasha Joseph and I are breaking down trending topics, pop culture, celeb gossip, all that good stuff. And anything else, I will post on Twitter at Kirsten Said What. Maggie, what about you?
Yeah, people can find me on Instagram, TikTok, and Threads at MLMorgan_. And I just last night did a game night on the RJP YouTube channel called like Blood in the Clock Tower or something like that.
I think it's Blood on the Clock Tower.
Blood on the Clock Tower. So if you want to catch that, I was on Claim to Fame this week also with Jenny and Rob talking about that. And then the upcoming Big Brother season is happening. So I will be there. And and obviously I'm here next week talking Temptation Island again with the lovely Kirsten.
Yes, the lovely Kirsten, me.
Lovely Kirsten, the one and only. So thank you guys so much for listening. If you enjoy the podcast, please rate us and give us 5 stars. It really, really helps. We physically can't read what you wrote unless it's 5 stars. If you give us a 5-star review, we will be able to accept any and all feedback.
Exactly. And thank you to Leslie for leaving us a 5-star review saying that they literally only watch these shows that they can listen to Kirsten Scali, Jenny, etc., and their hilarious takes on these dummies.
Well, on that note, we will see you guys next week. Thank you for listening.